All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. This is just an episode to give you the background and the thought behind all the things that we're going to be doing with this. My name is Jeremy Mercer. I am the CEO of Matador Realty Investments here in Plano, Texas, actually, but the DFW area. We are starting this podcast called The Industrialist. I've spent my career the last 20 years in industrial real estate, starting in property management and then moving to brokerage and now moving more to the principal side and owning and operating assets and raising money on a platform. But this podcast will be here to document the process and the journey of our endeavors in commercial real estate. It's going to be a platform for discussion about commercial real estate, capital markets, business and entrepreneurship. And we will have several formats that we go into with this on a regular basis. Will and I, Will Narduzzi, will have a weekly show where we just kind of go over markets, themes, what we're seeing on a regular basis, really tied to commercial real estate, maybe some stocks and oil, just to kind of track the major themes that move markets. We will also have a long format version on this. I will just interview really interesting people in the capital markets world, the commercial real estate world, business, entrepreneurship, just anybody that has a neat story to tell that helps provide value in some way, shape, or form. The last format we will make on this is going to be called Confessions of a Street Broker. I grew up cutting my teeth being a street broker, and you know, we will interview a lot of my peers and former competitors and now a lot of my business partners as I team up with brokers a lot on deals. So these episodes will just kind of go into their journey and what they see every day. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand really what it takes to be a very successful commercial real estate broker. There's a lot of bodies laying around that didn't make it. And for the guys that do, it's a really interesting story to hear how hard they work. So tell you a little more about myself. My name's, again, Jeremy Mercer. I started in property management about 20 years ago. I managed Class B and C industrial assets in the Dallas market for about 6 years. And then I moved over to the brokerage side of commercial real estate, focusing on industrial in the submarket of Brook Hollow. Brook Hollow was primarily developed by Trammell Crow back in the 50s and 60s. I did a lot of leasing, selling, some investment sales, owner sales, buyer rep. Did that for 13 years. The last 13 years, I still broker every now and then with client relationships, but my main focus about the beginning of 2021 moved to Matador. Matador is a vertically integrated private equity company where we specialize in the acquisition and management and operations of Class B and C assets in the Texas and Oklahoma markets off the I-35 corridor from San Antonio to Oklahoma. We look at small bay parks. We look at larger single tenant deals. We look at a lot of buildings that are low coverage with some kind of land component to them. So we were just here to document this journey, meet some really neat people, and just provide thought development for the commercial real estate and investing platform. So thank you for taking your time to listen to this and go on this journey with us, and hope we provide some content for you that is very valuable and you learn something from it and you enjoy it. Thank you. Welcome to the Shop Talk, very first episode of the Industrialist Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, William Wilbur Narduzzi.
As our attorney calls me. Hello, yes. Jeremy. Wilbur's here live.
All right. Well, it is the week of November 6th. Another week. Quick. In the battle of commercial real estate. So anyways, this is kind of our first episode doing this. We want to just kind of cover some interesting topics and just talk about them on a weekly basis. And, you know, we're going to track a couple things on a regular around here. We're going to talk about economic reports and data. We'll track just regular stock markets. We'll track the commercial real estate sector of the stock market and also some oil and gas and some treasuries and probably some football line bets. Just because, yep. You know, all you CRE bros are gambling degenerates. So
this is mostly just take the high level data for people who are not in the and in our side of the business, right? Yeah. It's just kind of extrapolating the important stuff because we're all moving. And I think for a lot of our customers, which are the CRE bros, the guys on the street, it might not be something they're looking at on a day-to-day basis. And hopefully people find value in that.
Yeah, they can listen to it here and have an opinion, maybe help form some opinions.
Yeah.
So,
and also see kind of how we look at stuff.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So that's the value proposition for you guys out there. So anyways, let's talk about major economic reports this week. We've got consumer credit report coming out on Tuesday. I'm kind of interested in this in a way.
Well, everyone keeps talking about how much credit card debt there is.
Yeah.
And then student loans, I mean, myself included, that started last month.
Yeah, you got to start paying them now, right? Yeah. It's like a real thing.
Took all that money and plowed it into real estate. Now I got to pay it back to Uncle Sam.
Yeah, but what's your interest rate at?
It's cheap. I think it's in the fives. So been doing pretty good on it.
Is that a floating rate debt?
No, it's fixed.
And no?
When I got into college in 2011, I was a sophomore. And so it's fixed then.
Okay.
But here's the deal. If you go BK, it follows you to the grave. And if and when you die, it goes to your next heir. So like there's no off the hook.
Yeah.
They come for you. So it's a tough thing to swallow. Visa will let it go, but Uncle Sam won't.
Yeah. What if Uncle Sam BKs? They just print more money.
Yeah, it's impossible, I think. I have a very people wouldn't like my opinion, but it might be healthy for us to kind of let it go.
Okay, Thursday we have initial jobless claims coming out.
Where were we at before?
Let's see. The previous was 217,000. The median forecast this week is 221,000. So.
What's that, a percentage of the population? Does it give you that?
I don't know. It's something we should probably educate ourselves on.
Yeah. Well, because like jobless claims, I forget what the thresholds are. I think it's like they only track it for a certain amount of days. And then once you're kind of out of applying, you fall out of the pool that they tracked. And so I think a lot of, at least in college, it gets always a bigger percentage of the population than what the data actually shows.
So this is the initial jobless claims are a data point issued by the U.S. Department of Labor as part of its weekly unemployment insurance
claims.
Weekly claims report. The initial jobless claims refer to the claims for unemployment benefits filed by unemployed individuals with state unemployment agencies. So this doesn't sound like they don't think it's going to change too much, but that's something to watch. People start filing unemployment because they got laid off. They didn't get fired. They got laid off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they might have got fired either way, but they didn't quit on their own.
No.
Own accord. So, and then Friday we've got consumer sentiment. Median forecast. I don't even know what that means either. Let's figure it out.
Well, sentiment seems fairly subjective.
Who's the consumer?
Yeah, and what is their sentiment? How do you measure sentiment?
They measure it by a percentage, I guess. Let's see. So let's see. Consumer
to sentiment. To kind of go back, though, to jobless claims, I'm really interested in that. Ourselves, and I know a lot of our peers, you know, the biggest thing that we've been doing is the mark-to-market strategy on rents. And you always say, hey, you take something from $5 triple net to $8, $9, $10 triple net, you're pretty much eliminating the owner, the entrepreneur's income.
Yeah.
How does that kind of play out? You know, because all of our expenses have just been going through the roof. Our insurance is up. Property taxes are going up. Like, I wonder, if there is a mass casualty event, is it corporate America, middle market, SME, like, you know, micro?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, something that business owners should be doing is tracking market rents and making sure their business supports it. Because what I see a lot of times happen is you walk into someone's business, you know, in the real estate brokerage side of things, you run into people that end up wanting you to sell, they want to sell their company.
Yeah.
So when you take their financials and you mark to market their rent, you're like, oh, guess what? Your business doesn't make any money. It's not worth anything because you don't, you know, you've paid you own your building, you've paid yourself $3 a foot and it should be 10. And there goes all the profit.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. I would say business operators need to be very in tune with what rents are doing because it really does affect your ability to exit on a opco. But the consumer sentiment is, by definition, an economic indicator that measures how optimistic consumers feel about their finances and the state of the economy. So,
through a series of questions they ask them that?
I'm sure. Yeah. I don't know. I've never been polled.
You've never been polled?
Never been polled by the consumer sentiment.
I had a guy call me from the University of Michigan years ago. I did it. It was a long time, though. It was kind of painful on the phone.
Yeah.
It was about 20 minutes.
Mm, it sounds brutal.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think I finished.
Well, the Dow was up pretty good last week. It had a pretty good run. Started the week off at 32,928 and closed out at 34,000. So it gained 2,000 points.
That's nice.
So the world's going to hell and the stock market's going up.
Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. That's why I don't really have any stocks.
I have some, but not as much as probably the typical.
S&P did pretty well, too. It went from 41.66 to 43.58. Started off the week at 41.66, ended the week at 43.58. And then the NASDAQ did 12.643 and ended the week at 13.478.
And as of 11/6/2023, all three are up for the day.
Up. Okay. Oil. I want to know more about oil.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the richest people in the world do real estate and oil.
Yes.
And all I ever hear about is how up and down oil is, but I've never met like someone that's like, well, I do oil and their life is that down. Now, I haven't met a lot of people doing oil, but the ones I've met are really, really rich.
The ones, though, that are down are...
Are they down or are they just out?
And dead.
Mm,
like the Chesapeake guy, remember him? Mm-hmm. That's kind of sad.
So oil opened... The West Texas crude...
Yep.
West Texas Intermediate opened at 82.31... Closed at 82.31 last Monday and then finished the week up at... Let's see. Oh, it trades over the weekend or trades on Sunday. $80.51. So it came down a little bit.
It's down today to 81.13 as of this afternoon on November 6th. But no, I would be, I mean, some of our tenants are in the oil and gas business.
Sure. So some of our investors are.
Mm-hmm, it'd be good to learn more. So please give us any information that you've got that you think is good.
So this is something interesting to look at. The 1 week performance for the real estate development in the REIT office section and the REIT mortgage section of that group of real estate publicly traded stocks. Mm-hmm. Real estate development was up 10.5%. Their culmination of stocks in that group. REIT office was up second place, up 9.17%. REIT mortgage at 9.16%.
Over what period of time?
This was last week's performance of those stocks.
Last week's performance?
Just last week. Oh. So I guess maybe investors are seeing that, these stocks have bottomed, you know. But I feel like office is...
Chris Powers put that tweet out there that I saw you interacting with. It's really tempting.
It doesn't tempt me at all.
No, I know. Because we are very laser dialed in on what we do, but...
I think it's very interesting that we had a bank bring us an opportunity for a Class A asset in a phenomenal market in the Dallas-Fort Worth market for a Class A office building that we could purchase for the same price we bought a bunch of metal buildings in Segalville for.
Ours cash flow a lot better than that thing.
I'm sure. Yeah, that thing's dark black hole.
But it's just the pricing looks great on paper, but I don't.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know. How much further will it go?
All right, treasuries. This is always a big thing. We look at debt a lot. We are looking at debt, I'd say, almost on a daily basis.
Sometimes it's hourly.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to the SVB situation, when we were going to lock in debt for that one deal.
Yeah.
I mean, we were looking at it, but I called you that morning. I'm like, we need to lock in that debt deal.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting story. We had a... deal that was it was a spread over treasury,
the five year.
And when Silicon Valley we received our final term sheet in our rate lock agreement on that Friday, and over the weekend Silicon Valley Bank failed. That Monday morning the 5 year plummeted. So we called them back up and said, we're ready to sign the rate lock. They didn't agree to it.
Rules for thee, but none for me.
Yeah. They go, oh, okay. Hey, you know what? We forgot to put a floor in there. I'm like, did you?
Well, I mean, to your point, if it went the other way,
they wouldn't have capped
it. Gotten fleeced.
Yeah. So anyways, it all worked out. We did very well on that asset. We actually turned it and 1031'd it. But anyways, that was
so very disappointing. Where are we at with the 5-year?
5-year currently. So let's see. Last week, the 5-year, it started off at like 4.8, dropped to 4.55 on the third. So hope somebody locks some dead in there. Now it's back up to 4.65. Today it's floating around 4.58. And your 10-year, I'm sorry, that was the 10-year I just gave you the info on. Your 5-year, similar, started at 4.71, dropped to 4.48 midweek, and then shot back up to 4.62, currently trading at 4.84. SOFR is at 5.32. SOFR spreads are what? 200 to 300 points above SOFR right now. So you're looking at
depending what the business plan is.
Yeah, depending what the business plan of the asset is. It's the
same thing with the 5-year.
Yep. So
I don't see spreads going down either, though.
No, they're not.
So the spread is almost as much as the treasury yield in some cases.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Especially opportunistic debt people.
Yeah.
So
I mean, we haven't seen anything sub 8.25 in a while.
Right. Okay. Interesting lines.
Mm-hmm.
North Texas plays at SMU this week.
Oh, wow.
SMU 17-point favorites.
They put a beat down on somebody. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago in Tulsa?
It was 2 weeks ago. SMU pulled it out in the very end against Rice Rice.
Was that this weekend?
Rice is very unassuming. You just usually think they're pretty terrible, but I think they're actually somewhat decent this year. So my favorite, Texas Tech is playing at Kansas.
Okay.
They're getting 3.5 points. Kansas is for real now.
Yeah.
So you got to be scared of them.
Since Mangino and Charlie Weiss are no longer there, they've...
Yeah, they actually got a real guy that can recruit. So Baylor at K-State. K-State's getting 20 and a... Given 20 and a half. I think K-State beats the hell out of Baylor.
Yeah.
Let's see. Texas at TCU. I kind of feel like TCU is going to step back up this week and play hard, but their quarterback, not so much.
How was the game last week?
It was great. It was really good. We did everything we could to lose it, but we still won it. So that was awesome. So, okay. So let's just talk about some interesting things going on in Dallas.
Yeah.
The Colonnade, million square foot office tower, iconic office tower in Addison on the Dallas North Toll Road. I've spent many hours in there.
Yeah.
Is sent to special servicing.
Oh boy.
So I had a relationship. I normally never touch an office deal, but I had a relationship where someone wanted me to represent them on a renewal in there, and I actually ended up doing it. And we actually didn't make the deal. We left and we moved them. And sold them a building. But man, that place, it had like a massive center in it. And I'd never been in there before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I could imagine it almost looked like a mall in the middle of it. But and I bet that was pretty busy back in the day. But
I bet
after COVID, that place was a ghost town every time I go in there.
It's sad.
That's a big building. Like, what do you do with that?
I don't know who developed it, but I think Trammell Crow was known for doing really big atriums. That was kind of a hallmark to them. I might be incorrect. It might have been, but I don't know if that's a Trammell Crow build or not, but it's a sad lobby space. It feels like it has a lot, but it's just not a lot of activity.
They spent a bunch of money on it here recently. They redid a whole weight room and all this stuff, but we tried to punish them on rate pretty hard, but I, as an office operator, I guess do you have to?
I don't think they give up on rate.
You probably end up getting blown out anyways.
If you look at what they're fighting against, construction prices are all up.
Yeah.
Right. Who knows what their debt looks like? They've got to hold rate. I haven't heard of any office center up guys who said, "Oh, I'm crushing it." Rates are dropping. I haven't heard that. So
yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't know. Let's see. Something else I thought was CBRE's income is down 56% this year.
That's all.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. But I mean, if you think about what our deal volume's like and a lot of our competitors, that kind of is, I mean, we did what, 60 in transaction volume last year?
Yeah, we did. We bought 56 million in assets last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of August, we'd only purchased 8 this year.
Hopefully by the end of this year, we're at half. So that kind of.
Yeah, it's off.
I mean, for sure. I'm making like a tie that might not be there, but I wonder how much of that down is from investment sale transaction, like the big boy stuff.
It has to be a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, probably a lot of office tenant rep deals that go out and cut their floor plate in half or, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just interesting. Probably monitor commercial real estate, publicly traded brokerages and whatever. I mean, like, you know, I'm sure Marcus and Millichap's stock's been hammered.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
But when it comes back, start buying into that stuff because those guys are going to be ripping fees and ripping revenue for the company.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you just wonder how much like groups like Newmark, who went on a big spree of just buying guys up or moving teams over, right?
Yeah,
They don't do it for free.
No, that's a good point. Like all these guys that spent all this money to staff up their place,
yeah,
and now it's like, well, where's the results? Oh, well, the economy's bad.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot of it's performance based, or it is all performance based.
Has to be.
Yeah.
So
not a gun I'd like to be under.
No, I'm good with that. These guys in Frisco raised like $130 million.
Yeah.
And it was just like poof, gone. It was like a Ponzi. I mean, how do these Ponzi schemes like
don't get me started.
Where are these people that willingly give up that kind of money and don't vet it? Because we're pretty open book. You can come over here and we'll show you everything. Yeah. But I mean, $130 million.
That's a lot of Jack.
That's a lot of money, man.
It's a lot. You know, I whoever these people all talk to, we got to get in front of them. Selfishly motivated. But I mean, it's incredible. Like, I mean, CoStar wrote a deal on a group, I think out of New York City. They're mostly tech focused and venture capital guys. Yeah. And they're trying to get into commercial real estate, specifically our space with industrial. And it was a large sum of money. I can't remember, tens of millions of dollars. And it doesn't look like there's really any real estate experience there. And it's just a lot of money. So I guess the question is, what makes you qualified these days to do what we all do? I mean, and to get 30, 40, 50 million, $100 million behind you?
I don't know. Because
there's a lot of qualified people we interact with, like Chris Bowers out there.
Yeah.
I mean, and he talks about it's hard to raise capital.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
But some guy that's never done it just raised $100 million.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that the group that was targeting affluent Indian community?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they were. I did see that. They were.
You know, maybe it's community related. I don't know. That happens sometimes up in the Orthodox Jewish community in New York and New Jersey. People kind of prey on each other just based off of.
No, we got the religion thing going on with each other. Which is
really,
so like,
really unfortunate.
That makes us safe.
Sure.
Yeah. That's really the trick.
Yeah. It's just really not cool. It's criminal.
Yeah. That is bad.
It's really the opposite of what Jesus would want.
Yeah.
Or Allah or whoever your God is.
Whoever your God is probably didn't say.
Screw over the other worshipers.
That's right.
But no, it's, if you put money with them, you still have excess capital. Come hang out with us. We got deals.
right. We're here. We're present. So, well, you got anything you want to touch on?
No, not really. I know it's a tough time for everybody, regardless of where you sit in the ecosystem, but we hear some of it from bankers and brokers specifically, and just keep chopping. I mean, it's easy for me to say, I haven't been in a downturn before like you have, but it just put in the dials and we all just keep working every day pretty hard at what we know works and we'll get through it. So, but
yeah, you hear a lot of people like, I think you can cold call your way out of anything.
You can
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So if you're a little down this year, just make more calls.
Yeah. And Matthews, what's his full name?
Kyle Matthews.
Yeah. I think that bit he did with Chris Powers.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. Made you want to go make a bunch of cold calls.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that's my only thing. Just keep chopping.
Yeah. All right. We'll do this every week. If y'all have anything that y'all want us to touch on, we're not experts in anything by any means, but we'll talk about it. But, you know, Will and I do run an equity shop, and we are putting out debt now as well. So reach out to us at Matador. You know, we buy BNC Industrial Assets in the I-35 corridor from San Antonio to Oklahoma City. And we're looking for opportunities like that. And
you can find us on all the major social media channels. Jeremy, I don't forget your Twitter handle.
JB Matcap.
And I think mine's Doozer, WDoozer92 on Twitter and Instagram. So hit us up there, or email always works too.
Yeah. Tell us how bad we're doing. Thank you. So, all right.
Thanks, cool.
Have a good week.
See ya.